And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Boy, those low clouds are moving really, really fast this morning, and so maybe we'll see a little bit of sunlight before rain comes again. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. I think for the last two Saturdays, I've probably spent quite a bit of time, so I thought I'd make up for it and just take phone calls if you'd like. This program is called Health Essentials, so I'll be glad to serve you any way that I can. I think if a human being desires to have good health, they're desiring a good thing. Because when you're healthy, that's going to be your ticket to going and doing and being everything that you're supposed to be doing. Some people have a very strong sense of purpose in their life, and some people haven't discovered their purpose. But you need health to fulfill your purpose. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How you been?
Oh, great. Thank you.
That's good. I'm glad. I got a question for you, of course. Do I need to turn down my radio?
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard the radio gets reverberation feedback, have you?
Yeah, I've just heard it. Yeah, I've heard it a few times. How have you been? How's your family been?
Oh, they're all doing great. I've got two kids with me this morning at the station.
Well, great. That's good. I wish
Do you know how many times I've asked them or told them, you've got to make sure you're quiet. Don't touch any buttons. Do not come in here. Stay out there.
I went through that with mine a couple of times, too, for sure. Doctor, the reason I called you, I read an article, we've always talked about how real butter is good for you, and it's not this good fat. Mm-hmm. And this article says, get rid of the butter and use healthy oils, substitute like olive oil.
Yeah.
For good fats. And I don't understand why they continue. What is the deal?
Do you know who wrote the article?
No, it came out of, no, I don't. I hate.
Well,
I
what was the, source? Where did it come out of?
It came out of, a local magazine here in Longview.
I've discovered this is probably the hardest thing for people to conceptually understand and get past. And so, for example, if a person walks in my door and they look downcast and they're dejected and they're just downright depressed, I ask them, well, what's going on? They might say something like, my doctor says I have high cholesterol. And I say, how high is it? And they go, well, it's 201 points. And they say, I have to give up fat, that fat's bad and evil. But I'm thinking to myself, oh, my word, does it take such a long time to change? Why did God make cows make butter so well for? That's just a big, huge mistake, right? Anyway, I do agree with part of the article, if I can. Trying to be positive here. I think olive oil is a most fabulous oil. But to vilify butter is being bad, and that's just utterly ridiculous.
I got you. Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Ask your question.
No. Go ahead. You go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
No, I was just gonna say, we have such a severe fear of fat, and I think it's completely misplaced. You may have heard me talk about this in the past, but maybe six, seven years ago, they did a study on what are called super centenarians, and these are the people that have made it to age 110 above, which, you know, there's just probably not that many. I mean, how many people do you know personally that are 110, 111, 112? Probably not many, right?
Right.
I mean, you might be the next person I know that might make it to 111, right?
I'm trying.
You see there? Good. But what they thought they were going to find, the researchers, when they examined these people, they thought, oh, we're going to find some type of a superhuman gene that makes them radically different and exceptional. But they found a couple things in common. Number one, these people emotionally or psychologically, they were very easy on themselves, which means if they did make a mistake, if they did something wrong, if they said the wrong thing, if they hurt someone's feelings, they were very quickly to own up to it and to make it right. And they were also very quick to forgive themselves. Could you see how that could be beneficial to long-term health?
Yes, definitely.
But number two, this is what disturbed the researchers. Very disturbing. that what they would do is they would make crispy bacon in a skillet, and then they would save the fat from the bacon and use it to fry chicken that day. And so they're going, what? This doesn't make sense. They're using lard, and they're using lots of fat. How could they be so healthy? And I think what we've actually discovered, this whole low-fat diet craze has just done one thing. It's made us afraid of the very thing that could actually keep us very healthy. And we've exchanged fat for one substance. It's called sugar. And you can just bet your bottom dollar, any time that you take fat out of anything, whether it's butter or olive oil or coconut oil or avocados, whatever you want to call fat, they're going to replace it with sugar to make the food taste worth eating.
Exactly.
If I told you that I'm going to serve you a broccoli salad and in the bowl you just saw raw broccoli, you might go, well, where's the rest of it? I mean, there might be a couple of people that say that broccoli tastes really good by itself. But if you cook some chemical or nitrate-free bacon and crumbled up the bacon with a broccoli, that would enhance the flavor by about a factor of a million. Or something. Or if you added mayonnaise to it that's full of fat and, you know, egg yolks, that would greatly enhance. Fat is the ticket to improving the health of a human being for the most part. The whole idea that butter is even something we should avoid is just utterly ridiculous. You know what I used to do? And this would shock some of our friends from church. My daughter is sitting in a rocking chair kind of playing right now, but she would walk around the kitchen, you know, just wearing a diaper and hold a stick of butter and just eat it and munch on it, and people would go, what are you doing? Well, it's just pure oil. If you ask me what the perfect food for a newborn baby is, not a newborn baby, that's not what I'm going to say, a six-month-old baby, you know, when they get to the age where they're ready to start reaching out and grabbing some of the food on your plate,
right.
You can't tell me that either a poached egg yolk or like a lightly fried egg over easy, a yolk, and that's just pure fat, just about. It's full of nutrients, but it's pure fat.
Right.
Or butter, or a banana mixed with butter, or an avocado. Those are usually the very best foods that you can give a child when they're 6 months of age, or seven, whenever they decide it's time to eat real food. But it's kind of interesting that mother's breast milk is not low in fat at all. If anything, that is the main component of mother's breast milk. It's 54% pure fat. So did God make a mistake by adding fat to breast milk?
No. Oh, he made mistakes all the time, don't you know?
Well, according to some people, yes. They'll never come to terms with that, will they? All they're doing is looking for loopholes and mistakes, right?
Right.
Do you know what one of the highest cholesterol-containing foods on earth is? It's mother's breast milk.
Wow.
So you've got to have fat. And actually, I'll read an article after I get off the phone with you about how fat is really important to the health of the heart. But anyway, but butter, I think, is extremely good for human beings within moderation. I mean, I would never tell a person eat 40 pounds of butter in one day. But there was a study years ago from the University of, it was either Southern Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh. So since I don't remember, it's in Pennsylvania, okay? But they just tried one simple technique. They said, as people get past the age 75, what's one technique that we could easily use to enhance absorption of nutrients from their food? And to me, I thought this was just so simple and so easy, and anybody could do this. They only did one technique. They recommended putting a pat of butter, so if you had fresh green beans on your plate that were fresh from the stove, or asparagus, or sweet potato, or they even used regular new potatoes, but they said if you'll put a pat of butter on it, guess how much that increased absorption of nutrition from the food they were eating? 15%.
Wow.
Now, that may not sound real significant, but are you better off by having 15% less absorption of vitamins and minerals and nutrients? No, you're better off. And see, that's a difference maker right there. And all they used was a pat of butter. And so in that experiment, they did not use olive oil. Although I'm not against olive oil. I love olive oil. But they used butter specifically because it's very easy.
I use both. And talking about pats of butter, when I go to Luby's and eat occasionally, I'll get the real butter and the little gold square pats.
Oh, yeah, but it's real butter.
Yes, and I'll put that on all my food and let it melt, and then I'll eat it. And also, I'll just take one of those pats and I'll eat it, and just straight, just like you get it. And it's delicious. And when I eat butter, I think about Dr. Morgan. That's why.
Hey, you know one thing I just thought of? They did a study years ago where they did, it's called the Rose, I want to say it's called the Rose Corn Oil Study. Because you know how man is always smarter than God's creation or God's design, right? Aren't, isn't man just super smart? But they came up with this idea that what they were going to do is they were going to completely take all human beings off butter in this study. But since they're smarter than God, what they decided to do was they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to use what are called egg beaters. And I know I'm switching the topic slightly, but it's just, it illustrates the point. But egg beaters, they said, we can't afford to have people eat yolks from chicken eggs because they're full of fat and cholesterol, and everybody knows they're bad. So they came up with this brain trust that said, why don't we just take heart-healthy corn oil, you know, from the company called Mazola, and let's just start taking corn oil and putting a little bit of maybe yellow-orange dye, and we'll make them look like eggs, and you can just pour them out of a carton, and you can scramble them up, and they look like eggs. They might even sort of taste like eggs if you use enough artificial ingredients. And what they did was, this is supposed to be a three-year-old study, but they did this in people that were prone to heart problems. And I'm going to tell you the truth. They had to stop the study prematurely because people were dropping dead of fatal heart attacks. They were dropping like flies. So they couldn't even complete the study. And it was called the Rose Corn Oil Study. So that may not receive a lot of fanfare, but yes, it's very disturbing that people that live past 110 usually are eating fried eggs, and they usually fry them in bacon grease or lard, and they're actually eating fried chicken a couple times a week, and they're frying it in bacon grease. I know that's just preposterous, but That's the truth. But you know what? There wasn't one super centurion that was a total vegetarian. Not one.
It was not healthy.
Well, I didn't say that. There's very, I mean, you and I would agree right now that it's very healthy to eat vegetables, right?
Oh, I do, but not totally. You need some meat.
Well, and yes, there may be a few vegetarians now currently. The country of India, they have about 63% of all the cases of diabetes in the world. And that would be a country that's probably closer to total vegan on,
right,
in some aspects.
Right.
And so when you avoid the rich fat that comes from, or saturated fat that comes from animal, I mean, does that really disturb you if somebody invites you over to dinner and they said, okay, what's for dinner tonight? I made a sweet potato, we already put butter all over it for you. We're going to cook a broccoli, or we're going to make a raw broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower salad. We're going to crumble up bacon in it. I mean, would that be disturbing to you?
Dr. Morgan, I lost a friendship over a dadgum microwave oven because I refused to let him heat my food up in it.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding.
So really, the other person couldn't show you difference and say, fine, you don't want a microwave? Let me heat it up on the stove.
Yeah, right. It was a childhood friend, and I explained to him, and he said, why? And so, I just told him the truth that I believe, that the radiation is no good. There's no nutrition in what you get out of a microwave oven. And it's dead. D-E-A-D. Bury it. It's gone.
Yeah.
And, he and his wife is more understanding, of course, than he was.
Well, if you've never heard this information for the first time, it's probably got to be a shock to you. I mean, I can give somebody that.
Exactly.
Because if you've never heard that microwaves distort and change the value of food from going from good to not so good, that's
right.
Just probably like, really? Then why does the government allow us to have microwaves if it's so bad for us?
Right.
Well,
and then,
you realize I'm not touching that topic because that's not the only thing they allow us to do that's not good. Anyway, go ahead.
Exactly. And then there are those... in my family, well, you should have just kept your mouth shut and just ate the food. Goodness.
Well,
great.
And you
one
know,
time wouldn't hurt you.
And there's probably a time and a place for that, but you have principles that you live by, and you've kind of already drawn your line in the sand saying this is what I'm all about.
Well, I hadn't seen this childhood friend since childhood, and it was a good reunion until that came up.
So, well, maybe you can still salvage the relationship at some point.
I don't really want to. I just pray for him. That's all.
Well, you know what? You never know what can happen, because I see this all the time. I have people. I had a lady not that terribly long ago. When she came to see me, she had lots of issues with severe arthritis and tummy trouble. And when I examined her, the two things that led up as far as her two weaknesses that were stressing her internal organs was wheat and sugar.
Yeah.
And, of course, I try not to be emotional about this stuff. I don't
I'm
say,
out for both of them.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it doesn't do any good for me to be all emotional going, oh, my goodness, you're going to die if you keep this up. I just tell them, okay, can you see what I'm doing here? All right, we're going to test wheat, then we're going to test sugar. You see how there's a tremendous weakness and how you have more pain when we expose. Anyway, but she left my office in a huff over that, and I'm going, ma'am, I'm not trying to upset you. I'm just telling you what's going to restore your health. What do you want to do? And but it took her 2 years. And she came back in 2 years. I mean, I never saw her again, but she came back in 2 years, and I literally did not recognize her. And when she walked in the door, she had a big smile on her face. She said, you know what? You don't remember me, but 3 years ago or 2 years, whatever it was, I was extremely angry at you for telling me that. And I said, well, you know, I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. I was just trying to be honest with you on what's going to restore you. She said, but after about 6 months, I said to myself, you know what? What if he's right? I am not making any progress on these drugs. Doctors have not been able to help me, so I'm going to give it a shot. And she lost an incredible amount of weight. And all her physical maladies just completely resolved. And that did make my day, because she came in to explain to me how she had a change of heart. But then again, isn't there a Bible story about a Syrian general by the name of Naaman that really became upset when Elisha sent a messenger to tell him to dip in the river Jordan 7 times? Oh, he did not like that. But one of his servants finally got a hold of him and said, you know, my father, why don't you just give it a try? And of course, his skin was clean and white as snow, like a child's skin afterwards, right?
Right.
The leprosy had left him. Anyway, but it's all right. It's all right to question these things. It really is.
Yeah, Dr. Moore, you're talking about the lady that helped and came back and said, you don't remember me. My daughter does a sugar detox, and she does it, of course, on the internet, and has a few customers, and doesn't charge but $29 for it to go through it, and she helps the people and gets them through it. And she doesn't go home to home. Well, she had this 87-year-old lady that, and her husband wanted to do it, and they don't have a computer or anything like that, so she was local. And while my daughter and son-in-law were home in between his jobs and working, she decided to go. She said, Daddy, she said, there's this lady that wants me to come to her house. And she said, I really don't have time, and I don't do that. I just do it all on computer, on the internet, and Facebook. And she said, I decided to go. And I told her, I said, go. I said, sir, I said, just go. So anyway, she went, and like a good daughter, she took my advice, and she said, Daddy, guess what I did? I said, what? I said, you went to see that lady? She said, yes. And Daddy, they were so sweet, and they were so nice, and she gave me this, and she gave me this, and we did this, and they're doing what I want them to do, and she sent me a check in the mail for $100, and she'd already paid me the $29.
Well, it really touched a life.
Yeah, and she said, sweetheart, I just want to let you know what a good person you are and a sweetheart to come over here and take your time to do this for my husband and I. And he's more stubborn than I am, but we're coming around, and we like what you told us, and we feel a lot better since we took some of your advice. And
well, that is just great.
Yeah, and the sugar deal, I mean, you're going to cheat every once in a while. And if you do sugar, for God's sakes, do white sugar or cane sugar. You know, the fake sugar-free is a lie. It's a man-made sugar.
Yep.
But anyway, to make a long story short, the $100 check, I just smiled at her, and I said, looky, see what I told you? And it wasn't because I wasn't saying I'm right. I said, just always try to do the right thing and help people. and you'll get rewarded. She didn't solicit any of that.
Yeah.
She called her and told her, said, why? I need to, no, I don't know, no, no. But she finally took it. But it was a good story.
Well,
Dr. Morgan, God bless you.
Yeah, thanks a bunch. You have a good day, buddy.
You too. Have a blessed weekend. God bless you, family.
Thank you very much. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if you have a question, I have a phone line open at 903-586-5257 if you want to join me on the program this morning. If nobody calls, otherwise, I'm going to read this brief article, and it won't take me very long at all. It comes from Dr. Dwight Lundell, who's a heart surgeon. Very interesting. Okay, here goes. I'm going to quote him. Simply stated, without inflammation... Simply stated, without inflammation being present in the body, there is no way that cholesterol could accumulate in the wall of the blood vessel and cause heart disease and strokes. Did you get that? Without inflammation, cholesterol would move freely throughout the body as nature intended. It is inflammation that causes cholesterol to become trapped. Since we now know that cholesterol is not the cause of heart disease, the concern about saturated fat, that would be butter. The concern about saturated fat is even more absurd today. The cholesterol theory led to the no-fat, low-fat recommendations that in turn created the very foods that are now causing an epidemic of inflammation. That would be sugar and carbs, my friends. Mainstream medicine made a terrible mistake when it advised people to avoid saturated fat in favor of foods high in omega-6 fats. That's the same thing as me saying not eating eggs and eating egg beaters that contain corn oil. We now have an epidemic of arterial inflammation leading to heart disease and other silent killers. What you can do is choose whole foods your grandmother served, and not those your mom turned to as grocery store aisles fill with manufactured foods. By eliminating inflammatory foods and adding essential nutrients from fresh, unprocessed foods, you will reverse years of damage in your arteries and throughout your body from consuming the typical American diet, even though he doesn't flesh that out. What do they do if they remove fat from a food? Well, the only way they can make that food taste worth eating, you know, according to people's taste buds, is by adding either sugar or more carbohydrates to it. That's it. Or, like Jerry would have said, they have to add an artificial sweetener. Or they have to add food additives like monosodium glutamate. Basically, they have to make a chemical soup in order to make it taste worth eating, but that's all just fake. Good morning, and welcome to the program. How are you?
Yes, Dr. Morgan, question for you. What is the effect of a high level of stress in your life? If you have a clean diet, but you still have inflammation, and I know exercise helps release the stress, but you don't have time to do it, so could you elaborate on that? I'm driving, and
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye. Before I went on the air this morning, I have one book I brought into the radio station with. It's got like a bright orange color to it, but it's called Feeling Good is Good for You. And I was just kind of thumbing through it for fun. But then again, I enjoy reading, and I think I bought a half price book. So let me see. What is it called? Yeah, $13.95 U.S., but I paid $3 for it. I'd say that's like a good price range for me, $3 for a book. But in that book, it has this chart or a hierarchy of stress. And, of course, I'm sure you've seen these before. But basically, and I'm not going to thumb back through it and find it, but I think if within a year you score close to 300 points on this, you're going to have a major catastrophic illness. And, of course, number one on the list is death of a child. You're right. That would be the worst thing that could happen to me. I think number two would be the death of a spouse. Then you have the death of a parent. Or then you have something like a divorce, or you get fired from a job, or you have a major illness. But each one of these has a number affixed to it as to how stressful it is. And I want to see the death of a child was like 135, just a huge number. But the body can only handle so much stress. And so the lady that just called mentioned that exercise, and you know she's really right about that. You tell me what's worse, physical stress, hard work, or is it mental or emotional? Well, to me, it's a mental and emotional. I would rather have hard manual labor every day of the week from dusk till dawn than I would, because you know what it feels like inside. I mean, yes, it's hard doing manual labor, and you might have to, you might be completely, you know what, you might really sleep well the days that you have hard manual labor, right? But to have emotional stress, you could be physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted, but your sleep is horrible because your mind races, you toss and you turn. Have you ever had a doctor give you, have you ever had a doctor that had a really good bedside manner? Well, everybody knows I've got room for improvement, of course, I'll admit that. But have you ever been to a doctor that has such a good bedside manner that you just feel better after being around them? Well, let me counter that with the flip side of the coin. Have you ever been to a doctor that just, they talked down to you, they berated you? You kind of questioned whether or not you wanted to, that you would be willing to take a statin drug, and they pulled out all the guns. You're going to die. Do you want your arteries clogged? You don't care about your family. Who do you think you are questioning me? Where'd you do? What'd you do? Read an article on the internet? I mean, I hear stories every... There's not a day that goes by I don't hear a story from somebody. So, you know what I've learned to do? If somebody tells me a story about an experience with anyone, I believe them. Why would they lie to me? Anyway, make a long story short. Stress will kill you. I'm not so certain that stress isn't the most devastating thing that we will ever face. And so you've got two choices here. You either put real food in your body that has the ability to counter stress by strengthening you in response to stress. See, I can't take you out of your life and take you to some exotic Caribbean island in Jamaica and have a wait staff wait on you while you're removed from your stress. No, we kind of have to improve people and encourage people while the wheels of life are in motion. Yeah, usually running from stress doesn't work. It just kind of prolongs it. I wonder why the Bible says that if you have aught with your brother, or if your brother is offended you, don't even go make your offering. Go to your brother and take care of it. I wonder if God knows what he's doing by asking us to resolve issues very quickly instead of dragging them out. But in the real world, even Christians sometimes, they just ignore all that. And they let it kind of fester, and anyway, enough of that. I'm not here to preach a sermon today. If you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. So, what can you do to deal with stress? Well, one is changing your attitude. Have you ever heard of trust in the Lord with all your heart? And that's a choice you have to make. You have to choose to let it go. Doesn't it say in Proverbs, it's to the glory of a man to overlook an offense? Yeah, it is. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. This question is regarding menopause, and I'm 52, be 53 next month, and I started not sleeping well, hot flashes.
Okay. Is it because of hot flashes, though?
No, not really. They usually come on during the day, so that was kind of weird. I don't have night sweats or anything like that. Then also, I lift weights and I work out, and I'm not building muscle like I was about a year ago, it seems like. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get my hormones checked. I did. My testosterone was down to 18. My estrogen was down to 14. FSH was 90.3, which I guess is a verification of menopause.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me, an all-natural bioidentical hormone cream.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. It's made from yams.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted your opinion on that. And what you do is you rub it on your wrist once a day, and it's like 50-50 estradiol and estriol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then progesterone, 40 milligrams, and then testosterone, 1 milligram per mil. So I'm only getting 1 milligram a day of that. Anyway,
well,
I go...
you have glands in your body, and these glands, they make hormones. And maybe that's one definition of a healthy gland, is that it can, at the turn of a dime, it can make whatever you need whenever you need it. So they're bypassing all that, going straight into, let me give you this right here. So can I give you a different take on this?
Yes.
Okay. I probably don't understand this topic as well as I should, but I like it, and I love to study this idea. But there's a concept that if the glands are not able to make the hormones that a woman needs and keep them in balance, that just maybe we need to look at these glands and find out, well, am I actually feeding and nourishing them properly? And I realize this is just one topic. It's not the only topic, but it's one. And so let me give you a different idea. Some women, their hot flashes completely disappear when they take wheat germ oil. And so would wheat germ oil potentially be a highly concentrated source of nutrients that might have a natural proclivity toward feeding and nourishing those glands so they could perform better on their own? I say yes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to make this into a panacea, but some women, that's all you have to do is give them wheat germ oil, and all of a sudden their bodies can kind of get back online again and start manufacturing what you need to be healthy and strong.
Wow.
The other thing that I thought of, I've had some women respond so well to what's called tribulus that I have been really amazed by it. So if this is a way to nourish the adrenals and the ovaries where they can better produce testosterone, so be it. Point number three. You could almost build an entire program that was 10 hours long just talking about phytoestrogens. These are substances that are found in nature, and it's everything from black cohosh to flaxseed meal to dong quai to soy isoflavones. The list just keeps going and going. But these are things that help augment and change hormone levels in women. Now, one of the old studies that was done back in the 1990s, I think it was 98 or 99, is they just did one experiment. They took a whole bunch of women, and all they did was they measured their estrogen levels. They didn't measure progesterone. They did not measure testosterone. So I can't speak with authority on those two from this perspective, but they said, all right, if women's hormones are Goldilocks just right, what do we do about that? And the researcher said, well, nothing. They're just right. Well, then they had a group of women that all their hormones were too high. And they had some that were way too low. So if you had a hormone test and your hormones have come back low, then I would say that maybe your glands are underperforming. They're just not making the hormones that you need, right?
Right.
And so they just tried one technique, and the technique was very simple. They tried increasing dietary fiber. So if you said, what about flaxseed meal? I'd say, oh, boy. Now, there is some insoluble fiber, but it transforms. So fiber had the unique ability of improving hormone levels, whether it was too high or too low or just right, across the board. So maybe your body needs a little bit more fiber substrate to help the liver detoxify and balance hormones. Of course, you know, I've seen plenty of women, that's all I had to do is just work on their liver, because the liver, it plays a powerful role in balancing hormones. Let me give you an example. You have a gland called the thyroid.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to say the thyroid is the be-all, end-all, do-all, but I can tell you one thing. If the thyroid doesn't work quite up to speed, you'll know it pretty quick because your body just doesn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
So the thyroid can produce all the hormones it needs, but guess which organ they go to so they can be converted into the active forms? That would be the liver. So there's a lot of times that the thyroid's just spot on, just right, but it's because the liver's not able to make that conversion that's where the glitch is. So it helps if a doctor understands that. So these are simple ideas.
And so no matter what, I mean, menopause is God's way of ending the ability to have children and all that kind of thing. And
now let me guess, you were really wanting to have triplets at age 62, right?
No.
Okay.
No. But so I mean, that natural thing is also related to problems with the liver and that kind of thing.
Well, it can be in some people, of course.
Yeah.
The if you look at pictures from the 1950s, how many overweight people did you see in the 1950s? Not many.
Right.
And, of course, I think you're incredible because you're trying to be a good steward of your body and you're exercising and you're making plans to improve yourself.
Yeah.
Now, let me say this right here because this is book knowledge because I'm not a girl. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I like girls. I have two little ones with me right now, but the two that are out here playing in this little bitty reception area out here, they don't know I'm watching them from the control booth. Okay, now they do. They're making faces at me. But these two little girls, they haven't gone through puberty yet to where they're actually starting to, but you can tell they're girls.
Yeah.
But they haven't gone through that characteristic change where they develop those secondary characteristics.
Yep.
Now, what's supposed to happen is to be in hormonal balance for a woman is supposed to be 10 parts progesterone to one part estrogen. And I would say for the most part, the vast majority of all hot flashes that a woman could experience and poor sleeping might be due to lowered progesterone. So I realize they did a test on you.
Yeah.
But also, I think for the most part, those tests are spot on accurate, but I think that we've learned as physicians to skew what options are available to a woman because sometimes, and I know you've never heard of this before, but sometimes doctors do the minimal work possible to figure things out, and they prescribe things that take the least amount of time and the easiest. Now, I know that's a shock to you that I would say something like that, but sometimes a doctor just might spend 3 minutes with a woman, order a test, and give a 3-minute answer. It's kind of hard to figure everything out in 3 minutes. That may be a shock, but I believe that.
I'm a nurse, and so I know all about that.
Well, but I give you some credit, though? I have definitely discovered that nurses are some of the most intelligent, open, and they spend a lot of time explaining things, more so than physicians do. Now, I'm not trying to come down on physicians because I realize you have a 17-year-old person that just started working for the insurance company, and they know more than the doctors do, so they tell the doctors I can only spend 5 minutes because a 17-year-old that doesn't have a high school diploma that's in charge of the compliance department of the insurance company, they know more about quality care than a doctor does. So they can tell a doctor, you know, they have all this rich experience, so they can tell a doctor which test they can order and which one they can't. So, you know, thank goodness we have 17-year-olds working for Aetna and Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah.
Hey, did I just rant for a second? Just scratch all that. Go on. Anyway, you go ahead.
Well, so do you think temporarily it's okay to use the bioidentical? It's supposed to be all natural, made from hams.
Well, here's two. Let me give you two or three options. The answer can be yes, because, and I can't possibly know everything about you because this is radio. It's not designed that way. But if you tell me that you have had a fair amount of stress in your life, I would say that could be a situation that could easily deplete your capacity and your ability to make hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So, for a short season, let's just say that you're going to take a hormone vacation. And these bioidentical hormones, what they may do is they may give your ovaries and your adrenals and other glands, like the pituitary, thyroid, and hypothalamus, it may give them a chance to rest and relax a little bit to where they can start to come back to life and produce on their own. Now, let me play the devil's advocate, please. What if 6 months from now, your doctor that prescribed these hormones says, let's do another profile? And what if they say, you know what, I really think that these are losing their effectiveness. We need to up the dose, and they want to double some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year after that, they want to increase them some more. Well, that technique is not a whole lot different than just giving people higher and higher levels of metformin and insulin to control insulin levels.
Right.
So,
right.
But in the meantime, if you are trying to eat foods that you know are nourishing to the body, I don't even think I have
and
to
I
explain.
And I do.
Well, yes, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Don't you know which foods are harmful to the body?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yes, you could do that for a season, but as a general rule, once a woman starts going through menopause, the ovaries, they have to downregulate by about 50%, so you don't produce that tremendous fertility. And there was a season in your life that you wanted to have babies, right?
Yeah, I have two, so.
They're still babies?
No, they're 22 and 26.
Do they act like babies? Never mind.
No, they're good.
Then you have done your job. But now you're transitioning to a different part of your life, but you still need 10 parts progesterone to one part estrogen, but that didn't make that transition. So God designed this glandular system that sits on top of the kidneys called the adrenal glands. And what the adrenal glands do is they help make hormones for you when your ovaries start to downregulate. So I might actually look at, that's one of the reasons why Dong Quai can be so valuable to a woman going through menopause, because it helps act as an adaptogen for hormone production. So it takes what you've got and helps make it better without any side effects that I'm aware of.
Right. So, yeah, the wheat germ oil, the tribulus, and the Dong Quai.
If you, go to the health store and ask for Dong Quai. That's fine by me.
Okay.
As long as you fold your hands and bow in respect to the person behind the counter.
Okay, I'll do that then. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. I really enjoy the phone call, and thanks for taking such good care of yourself.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. I'll just push the button and get you right in if you call. Now, if nobody does call, let me go through this right here. What else did I find for you this morning? Okay, yeah, here's a phone call right here. Good morning, and welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing good. Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning.
I would like some advice about a child. He's 4 years old and is a grandson, and he has a very hyper character, and he's getting violent, and he cannot sleep, and his mom is using melatonin, and I know how bad is that for
details. I guarantee you that's not what you want to use at all.
Yes.
And, but believe me, I'm not wanting to be critical of the mother, but let me just break it down to you.
And let me turn my phone off, then I can write down my notes. And he was diagnosed with the ODD.
Yeah.
Yes, then I wanted to turn it off, then I can write all my notes.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. I'm going to try to make this just as absolutely simple as I possibly can, but let me kind of either compartmentalize or, you know, try to organize different criterias. But let me talk about one or two things that, even though on the surface it may not make logical sense, but I'm just telling you what I've seen over and over and over again. When you have a child that has just terrible, whether you want to call it anger, if they're hyperactive, if they behave badly, I'm looking for something that's so toxic or obnoxious to brain function that generates brain inflammation, then usually, every single case I've ever seen, I always find something. So if you want to call that they have an allergy to MSG, or they have an allergy to sugar or aspartame or wheat or corn, those are just universal things that I find without fail. So if your approach is just to give a child tons of drugs to suppress them, where they're like a zombie and you don't know what the real personality is, I would say there's a whole world that we might be missing or overlooking. So let me just kind of give you a different opinion on this. So with a child, I'm trying to determine, do they, and don't overthink this, please. I don't want to overthink it. I don't want you to overthink it either. So if you need hardcore scientific information about this, there's tons of it out there. It's all there if you want to find it, if you want to see it. But let me break it down this way. Number one, I'm trying to find out if there's any food or substance they're putting in their mouth that's causing a problem. And so food dyes and food colors, that is real. And sometimes I've seen children gone from a devil to an angel? That may not be the right term, but they can go from just very bad behavior that once you remove either the colorant, the dye, or the chemical that's causing horrible inflammation of the brain, the child's fortunes turn on a dime and all of a sudden they're an angel. Then we'll talk about food. And I'll just tell you right now, the big ones that I see over and over, it's probably wheat number one. It's probably sugar number two. And in the sugar category, I'm probably going to throw in high fructose corn syrup. But probably number three, I'd probably say corn and then dairy. Now, I don't ever see any child where it's all of those. It just doesn't happen. Well, at least that hasn't been my experience in 27 years. but I'll usually find one of those that is the dominant issue. And so all I'm asking is, if we discover that's the issue, I turn to the parent and say, would you be willing to take the child off this? I mean, what are the possible responses from a parent? They either say, thank you, Lord. I am so glad to know that information. I'll do it, consider it done. Or, I can't do that because the only thing the child will drink is Dr. Peppers and Cokes. Anyway, I'll let you be the judge of that. I'm not here to figure that one out because I'm just very black and white. It's either yes or no. Anyway, so after that, I'm going to go into which organ or which organ system is where the most stress is. And, of course, let me just try to oversimplify this. The largest portion of the brain, or the largest lobe, or hemisphere, is called the frontal lobe. Sometimes it's called the prefrontal cortex or the frontal cortex. But I'm going to suggest to you that has everything to do with good behavior versus bad behavior. So you want that frontal lobe working really, really, really well. So we need to find out if there's a chemical that's causing a problem. If there is, let's remove it. Number two, we need to find out if there's a food that's causing a problem and remove it. It's cause and effect. Number three, have you ever thought about the idea of just feeding and nourishing the brain? I mentioned to Jerry earlier on the radio, I said, do you know what food probably has the highest cholesterol of all time, and it's very high in fat? It's called mother's breast milk. Yeah, if I had my way, I'm telling you straight up, I'd give a child that has horrible behavior mother's breast milk. I can't do that, though, for obvious reasons, because they're 4 years old, and that just doesn't work that way. Anyway, I'm not... Let's just get off that topic. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? I would give them perfect brain food. And so as a general rule, if you're trying to calm down an inflamed, hyperactive brain, what you've got to consider is fat consumption. You have butter. You have olive oil. You have tuna fish oil, cod liver oil, blackcurrant seed oil, sesame seed oil, wheat germ oil. Did I mention coconut and olive oil yet and butter? Did I? I think I did. So we've got to actually give food. We've got to give the brain what it needs if it's going to function right. If you try giving the kid junk food, I can already tell you how that's going to work out. It ain't going to work out. That's called a definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again but expecting a different result. Does that make sense? Okay, so if I find the frontal lobe is weak, I'm going to feed it, and I can't even go through all the different things that the frontal lobe uses, but it can be pretty simple. I see it all the time, and of course, you know how high-tech I am? Okay, here's how high-tech I am. Mother, would you tell me in a couple days if you have an angel instead of a demon-filled child? I never say that. You know, I'm just joking on the radio. And if she calls me back and she says, oh, my word, I have an angel I'm living with. Okay. Do y'all believe that? Do you need a medical test to prove the child's behaving better? No, just trust the mama. But what if it's the heart that's the main problem? What if the heart has stress or inflammation that's generating just very bad behavior? Well, we need to find out what's causing it. You know, sometimes when I have these cases of bad behavior, the problem is completely and totally coming from what I would call the gut. I know if you look at a woman on the street and say, nice gut you have, ma'am, that's not really considered a compliment. But what I'm saying in... it may be medical terms. My daughter's laughing at me. Was that funny, Noli? It was? Okay. But the gut really means the entirety of your digestive tract. It's really a precise term. So, but if the inflammation is being generated in the gut because the gut's not working right, well, then there's your starting place right there. And sometimes that involves the same thing. Removal of the offending substance is causing chronic irritation and inflammation. If you don't rid the body of inflammation, you're not going to see the results. So my encouragement would be that the mother and father come to terms with, you know, we have a lot of options here. Okay. I've seen so many cases like this, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, I'm certain. I'm trying to talk myself out of this. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. When I ask the mother and father, what have you tried? They usually say, just drugs that the doctor, like Concerta, Adderall, Maybe they use crack cocaine or speed, I don't know. But that's about the only thing that they've tried. And, you know, and I hear these stories just about every week from real, living, breathing human beings, and I say, so you took aloe vera and it caused the pain to go away in your stomach. What did your doctor say about that? Oh, don't do that. That's bad stuff. Only take Nexium or Tagamet or Zantac or... And I just, I never cease to be amazed by the commentary that I hear. Can we just focus on what is good and wholesome and safe and relatively cheap? How much does aloe vera cost compared to a prescription drug? It's cheap. But usually, when I talk to parents, I ask them, have you read any articles? Have you done any study? And it's almost the same answer. No. Now, I don't get that. Maybe what we're really dealing with is that mom and dad are so stressed out and so exhausted, they can't even see straight or think straight because they're just worn down. That I understand, and that I have a lot of sympathy and compassion for. But for example, a lot of times when I do literature searches, I'll find two or three books that I'm really interested in the information, because y'all already know this, I've got kids, so I try to do minimal amounts of weekend seminars to go and learn, you know, new information or topics. So for me, just buying a book on the internet is so much easier because I feel like I'm completely capable of reading just like you are. Is my reading skill set better than yours? I seriously doubt it. If you only knew how many things I read two and three times just to make sure I could kind of grasp what the author's saying. But there's books about, if you knew how many books I bought for $2 and $3, you'd probably be shocked. My kids are looking at me because I think I had a book come in the mail yesterday, but just about every week I get a book in the mail from some source. But this is what I enjoy and this is what I like, but there's a lot of people. You know how, actually let me refer back to the Bible. You know in the book of Hosea, I think it's chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." And of course, I think the next verse says, "For they have rejected knowledge." Of course, they've rejected knowledge of God is what it's referring to. But without knowledge, how are we going to solve this? And so, you know what you could do today? You get on Amazon.com and just type in treatments for ADD. And most books, they have 10 chapters. Some books have more. But for just the everyday person like us, 10 chapters. Chapter 1, what is ADD? Chapter 2, what are some common reasons that medicine's discovered or research has discovered? And you can look at them and go, oh, I did not know that was a cause. We're doing that. Chapter 3, what are the medical treatments? Chapter 4, is there anything natural that you could do with a diet? Chapter 5, is there any different techniques that you could apply in the house? You know, last week I was reading an article about toxic homes, and they were talking about chemicals in homes that are probably very, very bad for a child's brain. But this article was giving solutions. You know what the solution was? It was talking about, well, what, you can't change your home necessarily, but you can clean it. Guess what the radical solution was? Number one plant on the list. I don't know if it's the best, but it was the number one plant on this list for removing toxins from the air and from the home. Guess what it was? Aloe vera. Do you have a window in your home? Do you have any place to put an aloe vera plant? Pat gave us one. It is just a gorgeous, beautiful specimen. And as soon as she gave it to us, I told the kids, I said, okay, Tom, what do you do here? If you burn your finger, just go tear a little piece of it off and rub it on there. Because that didn't happen too long ago. He reached up and touched a hot griddle and burned his thumb royally. Anyway, he wasn't too happy. But aloe vera, isn't that something that you could put a living, breathing aloe vera plant in your home and it will work for you to clean the air and to clean your environment for you? And the whole time, it's removing toxic impurities that, if they're allowed to be absorbed into your brain, they may harm your brain. But not the aloe vera plant. Isn't that a brilliant design, God's design? So, do you like plants? I think they would benefit you. I like plants. I don't think I'm real good with them. But, man, I like plants. Plants that clean the air inside and out. How would y'all like to... Y'all remember reading the plague what was it, Exodus, about the locust? And it says when the locust, you couldn't even see the ground because it was covered. There was no vegetation left. How would you like to look out your door the day after the west wind takes the locusts away? Of course, God did that, right? And you look out and you go, there is nothing alive. There's no green anywhere. Wouldn't that be pretty, that's pretty apocalyptic, right? So, two things. Find out what the toxin is causing the child's ADD. And number two, let's feed the brain. How about that? That's my plan for you. I'd probably put number three, mental stimulation. You're going to think I'm meddling, but the child needs at least 2 or 3 hours of hard play outside every day. I'm not meddling. I'm just telling you what I would like. Do they need to sit and watch TV? No, no, no. And the next one? I remember, I may get in trouble for this one also, but I remember not that long ago a group of individuals, I won't name the group, but they were saying they want parents. I won't name which parents, so it'll be vague, but if you heard this news story, you'll know what I'm referring to. One particular group wanted another group to please stop reading bedtime stories to their children, because it gave those children that were getting bedtime stories every night, or they were being read to, it gave them an unfair advantage in the real world when it came to communication and social skills. And I'm going to ask you a question. What child doesn't love a bedtime story? Either you read one from a book, or you read them a Bible story, which is even better half the time. Now, depending on the age of the kid, there may be some Bible stories that are just a little bit scary sometimes. I know because my wife has said to me, really, Roy? Really? You're going to read them that story? They may have bad dreams. I'm going, didn't think about that. Sorry, sweetheart. But you know what the kids like also? They just like a parent making up a story. I'm not so sure they don't beg me for the story of Herman and the Old Man more than they do other stories. Anyway, we won't tell stories today. This could be story hour, couldn't it? All right. There it is, folks. Find out what the toxin is and then have enough faith to consider it. Maybe that's all I really want to ask. What if when I examine somebody, I really feel like that sugar is the main problem they have? Don't you think as a physician, I have a responsibility to tell them this could lead to a healing change within your body and you could actually have vitality and radiance and strength if you can just remove the very substance that's your thorn in the flesh or your poison? But you got to have enough faith in believing that's true or not. Because if you don't have enough faith, you're not going to even try it, are you? Well, you know, sometimes you got to have a little bit of faith in what your doctor tells you. If your doctor says, I have a drug that's going to greatly help you, but you're going to have to trust me on this because you may not feel well for the first couple of weeks, but then everything should start to even out. Or there may be a little bit of side effects, but the side effects far outweigh... or the benefits far outweigh the mild side effects. Well, you need to trust your doctor. Let me ask you this. If you had double pneumonia and your lungs are filled with green gunk and you're coughing and you have a high fever, would you maybe consider that an antibiotic prescription might be a cure for you? Would you do that? Of course you would. And as far as that goes, if you walk into the radio station on Monday morning saying, I've come here to get my lungs cured of double pneumonia, well, you might want to walk across the street to ETMC and get an antibiotic. That may be the cure for you. Now, I'm not saying that praying doesn't work, because it does work. But maybe the antibiotic is the cure that God's given us. Anyway, I have thoroughly enjoyed being with you this Saturday morning, and Lord willing, I will talk to you again soon. Thanks.